Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn
is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Today's show is all about roofing systems, proper roof installation, how to find a good roofing company, and how to repair certain types of roofs, and what's the best roofing system. We're going to talk about shingle roofs, tile roofs, flat roofs, and what about coatings, roof coatings. That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Hello, everybody. Our guests today are Keith and Michelle Andrews, who are the owners of Innovative Roofing Systems of New Tampa. Keith has held his roofing license since 2004, and I must say I'm especially impressed with you, Michelle, because you've owned your own roofing license since 2012. Wow, you go, girl. They install all types of roofs, metal, tile, flat commercial, shingles, and they also do repairs. So welcome to the show, Michelle and Keith.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to get started with you, Keith. In your opinion, what's a good roofing system? I mean, I'm sure it's the materials that you use, the type of tile. What, you know, just kind of go over that with us.
Sure. Well, to create the best integrity for a roofing system, it's all about the components built from the bottom up, having every single component work together hand in hand is the best.
That's like the underlayment and going right on, right forward, right?
Correct. Starting, you know, with your underlayment, your accessories, working together. Proper ventilation, of course, is a major key as well. So it's not just the shingles and the standard, you know, tile roofs. It's the other components that build the integrity and longevity of a good roofing system.
Well, Keith, let me ask you this. How important is it to remove the old roof? I've heard that they've put, like, new roofs over old roofs, but... Yeah. You know, I'm not sure that's a really good idea. What's your recommendation?
Well, it's extremely important to remove the existing or the old roof in every case scenario, more so because you do not know the condition of the underlayment. In this case, if it's a tile roof, it'd be the tile underlayment. You don't know the condition of the felt paper if it's a shingle roof, and even more so the condition of the lumber, which would be the plywood or your fascia board, depending if it's exposed or not. So in order to properly put your next roofing system on, it's very, very important to get down to the original decking and, okay. and install it proper from there.
All right. Well, then how would you remove the old roof then? I mean, I'm assuming that once you also remove that, how do you dispose of that material? So I'm curious.
Right. We have certain accessories that we use to help proper dispose of the material. We have dumpsters, dump trailers. We use these dump trucks to remove them from once we're on site to the completion of the job. But it's done, you know, on a daily basis, and the removal starts with, you know, removing the top product and getting down to the original decking.
Well, let me ask you this. I know we talked a little bit about removing the old roof. I mean, it's really important, especially if you have a leak, right?
Correct.
Because you really can't find the leak if you're digging through the new roofing and then trying to dig through the old roofing.
Right. I mean, when you're trying to repair a roof, it's almost necessary to find the water trail. And to do that, you have to remove all the components that we just spoke of and get down to the plywood, and usually finds a path that the water's taking to create that damage in the plywood. When it comes to re-roofing the whole entire building or residential home, you just have to start from the top and tear it all the way down.
Wow, you know? Wow. Now, speaking of decking, repairing and replacing decking, I mean, I know there's 3/4-inch wood, 1/2-inch wood. I mean, what's the typical cost and what's the recommendation when it comes to the decking itself? Because that kind of gets rotten after a while, right?
That's correct. When it comes to pricing out with our customers, we have it as a unit cost. We never charge per hour. It's all built into the cost of the plywood or the lumber. So everything would be done per sheet if it's plywood. It would be done per foot if it was lumber or fascia board. And like I said, it's not time and material, because it could be one of those situations where it could be very expensive for homeowners. And I think up front, they need to know the ideal cost associated to something like that.
Well, for example, let's say you have an existing roof and half the decking is bad. I mean, how important is it to match up with the existing decking? I mean, if you got a 3/4-inch wood decking out there now, do you put 1/2-inch out there because it's a better and thicker material?
No, we mirror what's there. If there is 1/2-inch plywood, we use 1/2-inch CDX plywood. If it's 3/4, we all obviously use 3/4. If it's OSB, we use OSB. So it's very important to go back and mirror what's originally there, and to make sure the roof, especially in a case where it's a flat deck, that it's nice and level.
Okay, Keith, what do they call roof stacks, stink stacks, smoke stacks? And
stink pipes, yeah.
The stink stacks usually go in the bathroom, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And dryer stacks. So what do you recommend that they're made of? Because I also know that they're made, you have the option of metal, rubber, plastic. So
yeah, there's various options out there. The two accessories that we're referring to are the lead boots, where we refer to as stink pipes because it's for your plumbing. And those should be cradled or surrounded
by. Do they actually stink, though? I mean,
No. Oh,
okay.
No, not unless you're in the unit.
You just know what they're referring to.
Yes.
We say stink.
But in that case, we use lead. Lead is the best option. But when it comes to your other ventilation, so when you put on your kitchen vent or your bathroom vent, the fan that goes on, there's what they call a gooseneck vent, and that's galvanized. And if you're close to the water, you probably want to use aluminum in cases like that because of the salt water.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, Michelle, I guess you're licensed as a roofer as well?
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, what do? You get up on the roofs and tear them off and replace them too? Or?
I don't do that now, but...
I mean, I can't imagine you getting up on a roof. Can you? I mean, Bobby, can you
imagine?
Can
we go back to the stilettos? What exactly?
No. That did come to mind just for a second.
No,
right?
No, I've had the experience, but that's what I have Keith for now. He does all that work.
So Keith gets like up that on the roof. Well, you got crews too, right?
Right.
Yeah, we have crews. I don't know how much work is going to get done if Michelle's up there roofing around with the other guys. But yeah, we have the guys up there, and they have a lot of experience and really, really hard workers, you know.
Well, I will say this. You know, we manage, Ameritech manages probably over 200 communities. And I know you guys, over the past, 15 years that we've been working together?
Yes. Maybe
even longer than that, you guys have completed at least 20 or 25 projects of ours.
Oh, you guys.
I would say more, right?
Yeah, there is by far the best experience we've had is working with projects that you guys have provided for us.
Very challenging.
But they've given us some great insight on things to do properly and give us the proper experience, because they range from various sizes. They range from various dimensions. Geographically, they all parts of Pinellas, some parts of Hillsborough.
Well, what's been good about us as a management company, you know, to pick a good roofer that does a good job and properly installs the roof, because when it rains, you know, nobody, these board members don't realize it. It's our phones that ring off the hook.
Right.
So, you know, if they pick a bad roofer, then, you know, we're the one suffering through all the roof leaks and follow up and trying to get the roofer back up there.
Right.
And that certainly has not been the case with Innovative.
No, not at all.
Keith and Michelle.
Nothing but positive feedback. And we like vendors that make us look good. So
that's
thank
right.
you.
That's right.
And in every case,
you.
We've
thank
gotten.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We've gotten positive feedback. So
now I got a question for you, Keith or Michelle, either whoever wants to answer this, though. But there's an old rumor about gutters. Do gutters rot the fascia board? And how important are gutters? And do they actually hinder or hurt the roofing system?
Well, the gutters, when it comes to the roofing system itself, if they're properly installed and, more importantly, properly maintained, they shouldn't create any issues or collateral damage to the roofing elements. The gutters are very useful when it comes to landscaping, protecting, things of that nature. But when it comes to the roof, if they're not well maintained, and what I mean by that is if there's constant debris in there, if there's constant shrubs in there and leaves, it's going to create a problem.
It'll stop them up, and then you have the issues, right?
Correct.
And that's where the roof starts to, or the gutters or the fascia starts to degrade, and you know, when you got when you're not cleaning them out properly and maintaining them?
That's correct. That constant moisture prevents it from drying effectively, and then in due time will continue to rot.
Is it easy to explain what is the proper way to install those gutters?
It's one of those things that's probably more visual than having to explain. But when it comes to installing them properly, you want them to slope to the downspouts. And you want to make sure, from a maintenance standpoint, they're always taken care of.
So. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of good installation, like most things, the proper installation of a roofing system is critical to its longevity. So it's obvious that it prevents it from leaking. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, if having the proper components, the self-adhering peel and stick, the proper fasteners, those are really critical in certain areas, your valleys, your boots, your penetrations, and again, finishing off the roof, the ventilation is paramount.
How much or how long should a typical roof last? I mean, you know.
Especially in Florida.
Yeah, really. You got some of these roofs, like these tile roofs, where they say there's a 50-year warranty on the tile, but I think that's the tile itself and not the actual roofing system. But theoretically, you know, and then you got some of these other roofing companies that like to give you a 5-year warranty, and I'm always skeptical when somebody just wants to offer me a 5-year warranty. I mean, I always get concerned, like, there's no way we're going to spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to have a roof replaced and then have to do it all over again in 5 years. So what are your thoughts, and how long, and what kind of warranties do you guys give, and certainly how long should a roof last?
Sure. When it comes to longevity or time frame on these roofs, a tile roof is going to get you anywhere between 20 to 25 years with proper installation and proper product. You're correct in saying about the tile. The tile is a 50-year warranty, sometimes lifetime. But after the life of the tile is still concrete. It didn't fail. It's always the underlayment that is usually failing underneath the tile that creates the issue. But
in the case of a tile roof, it's not like you can take the tile off, replace the underlayment, and put that same tile back on, because isn't that tile like concreted on top of the roof when you get into concrete tiles?
It's fastened in several different components. It's either fastened with foam or it's fastened with fasteners, screws. Once you tear off the old roof and you discard the old tile, you don't want to put the same tile roof back on. But
well, even if you could salvage some of it, you're not going to salvage all of it, correct?
Correct. I mean, unless we use it for future repairs on other buildings.
Right.
Right. So, but when it comes to the shingle roof, the shingle roofs will get you anywhere between 15 to 20, based upon, like you said before, Florida's going to beat the, you know, what out of these roofs because the UV rays and the rain.
Bobby, he said beat the, you know what, so is that okay?
Wait, what came after that? What came after
it? No, he just said beat the you know what out of the roof. You know? Yeah. I'm just
good.
Checking.
We're
you know,
good.
We don't want to break any FCC.
That was family friendly, so.
All right, what about the felt paper? I know we talked a little bit about the underlayment, or what would you call it? The under.
Yeah, the underlayment.
I mean, I know there's 90 felt, there's 120. I mean, is thicker better or is thinner better?
I mean, thicker is always better. The millage on these rolls will always.
It was ding dong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started it, Bobby, not me. But by the way, last show was all about ding dongs, and we got Bobby some
ding dongs.
And
red wine, let's not forget that.
Yes. And now I know what you're talking about.
Go ahead, Keith. Sorry.
No problem. In the scenarios between like felt paper and self-adhered peel and stick, felt paper was the popular route years ago for insurance reasons and protection of the roofs, especially during the summertime, during the transition of putting a new roof on. A self-adhered peel and stick underlayment is the best route to go for sure.
So really, you replace all the decking that's needed, all right? And once the decking's all good, then you actually put this self-adhesion underlayment on, right?
Correct, direct to deck.
And then the tile goes over top of that, or the shingles go over top of that if it's an asphalt shingle roof, or if it's a tile roof, the tiles go over top of that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm learning some
good.
Stuff here,
yeah,
Bobby.
You are.
I mean, God.
We're all learning. All right, so the next, the hot mop system. Now, I mean, I think of mopping as, you know, mopping your floor. I mean, I don't mop my floors. I think you do, Mike. But, you know.
I don't mop floors. I haven't mopped floors in years.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, hot asphalt is an application that's been around for a long, long time. Still used today.
Okay.
Some people want to say it's a dying installation, but it's one of those installations that once you have the system in place and you have the right guys to put it down, in my opinion, it's a very strong system. And it's used today on a lot of commercial properties. And, you know, we've been doing some of these for a decade plus on properties that you guys run. Mm-hmm. And it's been very successful.
Well, now I got this vision of hot mop. Do they actually get up there with a kind
That's
of like
what
a
I was
bucket
saying. Yeah.
and a mop and literally dip it and mop it on?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Really?
Yep. It comes out of a pump kettle and it would be transferred up on the roof. And then they have a big fiberglass heavy mop. And it's dipped into a big
kettle. Oh, so it's not like your typical Home Depot mop?
No.
Okay.
No.
The one you use. Okay. All right. I really find this interesting. How do you stage the job? I mean, exactly how does that work? Because I know that has to be very successful. You know, I mean, it has to be an successful part of the planning and the strategy to the roofing system. So tell us how that works.
Yeah, mobilization on a job will vary depending on the size. And depending on the time frame that we plan on being on the particular job. But in most cases, we'll have our trailers, enclosed trailers, we'll have proper things caution taped off, coned off. And again, depending on the time frame in terms of how long we'll be there, we'll have to stage certain parts of the building and the project that will be, you know, isolated just for us and, you know, have our forklifts and we'll have our lifts there to make sure that they're accessible and out of, you know, harm's way from other people that are living there. You know?
Exactly. Right. That makes sense.
What about the drip edge in the metal edging? I mean, I know that's just as important because, you know, if you don't get all the components, as you said earlier, right, then you have components of the roof that starts to fail prematurely, right? So to install the proper drip edge and metal edging, let's talk a little bit about that. What are your recommendations on that?
Yeah, I mean, we want to use is your typical 26 gauge drip edge or eave drip. What you want to make sure on commercial buildings that the metal's primed, so you make sure you have that strong adhesion with whatever product you're putting on after. The nailing pattern on the drip edge is very important as well. Like you said, if it fails, starts failing there, it could just create damage on the rest of the roof over a period of time. If it's installed improperly, it may not affect it immediately, but during the duration of the customer's warranty, it may fail as a result of it affecting it if it's improperly installed.
So. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of the roof nails and securing the decking and the shingles, if it's a shingle roof, of course, how do you keep the nails from ending up all over a parking lot or a driveway?
Yeah, everybody getting upset with flat tires. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten some flat tires out there.
We have replaced several flat tires.
Yeah, I bet you have.
And have you spent a lot of money replacing several flat tires?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we have an account at Olin Mont that just, you know, for...
Michelle, I take it you're in charge of replacing all the flat tires.
Yes, I am. I get all of those calls.
You know, it's a difficult feat to have the grounds clean. I mean, you can imagine on some of these buildings, if you're installing six nails per shingle, and there's roughly 20 shingles per bundle and three bundles per square. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but you're talking thousands of nails on the job.
Right.
So we do a pretty good job if there's some excess nails that float around. I mean, I've seen some 5 years later that are in some shrubs. But the system that we have in place, we tarp the entire ground. So as they do fall off, they fall into the tarp. And we have a magnetic sweeper that the guys religiously, you know, go around and use that magnetic sweeper to get the grounds clean.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you have a little metal detector there. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's one over there in the bushes.
Yeah. I'm sure the landscapers, when they come through, they're probably spitting those nails out like bullets, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have purchased some landscaping tires as well. So.
Now, with all those nails, are there hurricane requirements by putting so many nails, so many inches or so many feet on the decking and... Yeah, the underlayment, and then obviously the shingle roof, since we're talking about shingles here.
Yeah, I mean, there's depending on your high wind velocity zone, depending on, you know, geography and where you're stationed, the fastening pattern, the type of fasteners you're using are critical to Florida building code and the proper wind uplifts. And all those are pretty much standard when you start putting on, you know, newer roofs today.
Right. All right, I got a good question for Michelle. Michelle. Let's say Keith rips off the roof, all right, and you're probably out.
And you're supposed to.
and you're probably out in the backyard getting a suntan, right?
Okay.
And you start to see it's going to rain.
Okay.
Do you, like, call him up and say, hey, do something. It's going to rain, and that roof is ripped off.
Well, our guys would never leave it open like that. They would tarp it and make sure that all that's taken care of. So, you know, we only tear off a certain portion of the roof, and then, you know, we make sure that's dried in. We never go too much on the roof.
I mean, especially in Florida weather. I mean, you know, it could be raining, and 10 minutes go by, and it's sunny out, and another 10 minutes go by, and it's raining on half the project.
Yes, we are always prepared for that. We have tarps. The guys have all the stuff on their radios, and we're always watching it, and we always know when it's coming.
Okay. Would you say that you do more roofing projects during the summer, or do they kind of put it off because it's such a, you know, heavy rain season?
Or the rainy season.
Yeah, I mean, our production period is definitely during the fall when it's not raining so much.
I suspected that.
We become very conservative, and we don't tear off as much for sure. Because, you know, during the summer rains, regardless how much you're watching the radar, these storms will just pop up.
They just pop
nowhere.
Up. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Right.
So. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be right back in 2 minutes.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at trinicon.llc.com.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Keith and Michelle Andrews from Innovative Roofing Systems of North Tampa Bay. And we're talking all about roofing systems, installation, and how to find a good roofer and material manufacturing company. So, Keith, I know we were talking a little bit about nails earlier. Normally, do you guys have, like, insurance for that kind of collateral damage resulting from nails and, you know, maybe pitchers falling off walls because you guys are walking on the roof? I mean, does that actually happen?
Yeah, it happens. It happens on several occasions. We have not just your standard workman's comp coverage, but we have what you call general liability. That general liability can cover anything up to $2 million in damage. And it covers the ancillary stuffs as well. But things like things on the walls, tires, things like that, we try to, you know, have a preemptive strike and educate not just our guys, but our customers as well about doing what they can do to prevent that thing from happening, you know, at the time of the work being performed.
Okay, so that makes sense. Okay, well,
We do send out notices. We send notices out and let everyone know to take their stuff off the walls, that kind of stuff, and, you know, just be prepared that it is considered a construction site.
Exactly, yeah. All right, well, we'd like to take some questions from callers. Bobby, do we have anyone on the line?
Yes, first up we have Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a real quick question. If my roof leaks and I fix it, should I worry about mold or mildew in my attic?
It depends on the extent of the damage. If the leak's been going on for a period of time, and there's some signs, visible signs that there's damage, there should be somebody or someone getting up there and inspecting the attic to make sure there's no mold or mildew for sure. But if you have one incident and there's a small leak, I wouldn't worry about any extent of damage in regards to that mold being an issue. But if it's been ongoing and the leak has not been addressed and you start seeing some signs of staining that are turning a different color, then yeah, it would probably be in your best interest to address for sure.
So getting up in the attic is probably after a roof, of any roof leak for that matter, because sometimes you don't really know how long it's actually been leaking, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it might travel through the whole attic before it actually gets down.
That's correct.
So have you encountered that, Kimberly?
I appreciate it, yeah. Now, how do you know, like, I mean, you just got to get up in the attic?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best approach is try to find the nearest attic or crawl space, have somebody that's somewhat smaller in size with a, you know, a good flashlight, and get up there and start peeking around and just observing the attic insulation. If you see where it's been compromised, typically that's where the water has been intrusion has been going on. And just start from there.
I mean, typically a roofer should do that, right? A good roofer?
Yeah, a good roofer, if it comes down to just a repair, a good roofer is going to get up there anyways because he wants to locate the leak itself. And the only way to do that is get up in the attic and really inspect it properly.
And that's something that you do, Keith?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
and I think at that point,
you're a good roofer, so I assume that you would. Yeah, so yeah.
There you go, Keith, another plug.
Run with that one. Come on.
Hey, Kimberly, thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope we answered your question there.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Bobby, you got another question? You got another caller for us?
Yes, we're going to go to Jenny.
Hello, Jenny. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
What do you think of roof coatings? Do they work, or is it a problem putting on the coating on a failed roofing system?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Dry rot? What do you think about it?
The coating is, the coatings are very, it's a good system, but it's not the main substrate or it's not the main roofing system. What a roof coating is going to do is help extend life, the life frame out of that roof. It's going to create longevity, and it's going to protect it, the original roof, from the elements that are keeping it exposed to the weather and the rain. So the coating can help in terms of longevity and protecting that, but you do not want to put it over a compromised roof. So if the roof is compromised and you put coating over a compromised roof, it didn't change anything. All you're doing is really masking the problem. So you want the roof to be in tip-top condition before you put that coating on.
What's the purpose of having coating then if you've got a perfectly good roof?
Well, the coating creates longevity, so it's going to protect something or extend the life of it. So it's like getting a new paint job on a vehicle that's already had 10 or 12 years of exposure.
Before the rust takes place, right?
Correct, right. But if you start putting a new paint job on a vehicle that's rusted, it's not going to do it any good.
Yeah, that
right.
rust is going to yeah. keep coming through. Right.
Right. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, okay. Jennifer, hopefully we answered your question there. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. All right. I'd like to take one more caller. Do we have anyone on the line there, Bobby?
Yes, we have Sue.
Sue, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I was listening to you earlier, and you were talking about tile roofs.
Uh-huh.
And I have a tile roof, and I was told that the tile had a 50-year warranty. But my roof is leaking now, and I'd say the tile's about 25 years old. Do I have any recourse against the tile manufacturer?
That's a good question, Keith.
We talked
what
about
do you
that
think?
Earlier, Keith.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier the manufacturer of the tile is going to cover for the tile only. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and there is no situation where the manufacturer of the product that's put on top, in this case, the concrete tile, will cover the other elements underneath it. So because your tile is really, in essence, an expensive decoration, it's the underlayment underneath that has been creating the issue in this case. So the manufacturer really wouldn't be on the hook, number one. And number two, the manufacturer is going to cover just the concrete itself and not the components underneath it. So
Sue, does that answer your question? I guess there's no recourse. So the tile itself might last for 50 years, and in essence, the tile is not going to crumble, right? I mean,
correct.
So really, it's a bogus warranty from my perspective, right?
Well, it's one of those things where if you take the tile and you were to throw it in the ocean and pull it out 50 years later, the concrete's still concrete. So the warranty is going to be pretty strong and secure. And that's why it's vital, those other components that go on a roof are properly installed, because, like I said, the tile is a porous texture anyways. It's going to take in moisture. So the tile itself is never the waterproofing barrier. It's everything else underneath it.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, Sue, I hope we've answered your question.
You sure did. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Listen, I got a question for you two guys, a little bit off the subject.
Sure.
I mean, you guys have been together and married for what, 10 years?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
How do you guys kind of like work together?
Live together. Eat together.
I'll let her answer that.
Work together.
So
I mean, you guys are very happily married, obviously, and how do you keep it together, so to speak? Right, Bobby?
Aren't we here to talk about roofing?
And ding dong. Don't forget that.
It's actually not that bad. I definitely say that you have to work at it a little extra daily. But I know there are husbands and wives that could not do it together, but
well, you're usually in the backyard on the pool,
yeah, right,
looking for the rain.
Right. Well, I'm just watching for the rain, so I don't really have that big of a job.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, one thing that we've done and wanted to follow is once work is over and we are at home, we try not to bring work home with us. So at dinner or during the evening, we try not to, at the table, discuss work, because it just helps you know, keep things clear that way.
You know? So you've got that moment when you get home at 5 or 6 o'clock and it's kind of like...
Or 7 or 8.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, we're not talking shop, you know, it's home, the kids.
Yeah, we have our nights where we know we just need to turn it off and, you know, have our own lives for a while.
Well, all congratulations, guys.
Yes,
well,
you guys are awesome.
Thank you very much.
So we love working with both of you. But, okay, back to roofing systems.
We're
okay.
back to roofing now,
we're,
Bobby,
we're
okay?
back to shop talk. All right, I'm guessing that most roofing companies provide a written estimate. However, it's also known that there are going to be situations that's going to cause a job to cost more than what you estimated it to be. So how do you handle that?
I'm sorry, ask that again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you put an estimate together, and there are just situations that come up that you didn't anticipate. So, and that causes the job to cost a lot more. So how do you handle those situations?
You know, communication is paramount in situations like that. You know, throughout the job.
That's true.
You know, from the beginning, any type of issue that is raised, you want to be upfront and show them and discuss with them the issue that's at hand. Don't wait and close up whatever damage that you may be charging them for after the fact. Throughout the process of the job, you want to make sure you're showing them pictures and the reason why there may be a price change. And a typical addendum that's going to cost X amount of dollars, you really want to get the issue agreed upon before the action's even done. So if there's a modification to the roof and it's costing $3,000, both parties need to agree to that before work is done.
Which is smart.
Yeah. So, again, communication from the beginning is very, very important.
Yeah, it's like decking. You get up there and you rip the old roof off and you see that half the decking is done or dry rotted and destroyed and you got to replace that. I mean, those are unforeseen situations that you're going to disclose fully, take pictures of. Michelle?
Yes. And two, by the city or county standards, whoever, you know, whatever county or city we're in, by law, you're not allowed to cover up any of the, you know, the wood that's compromised, anything like that. You're not allowed to do that. So
I mean, does the actual inspectors, because I know you got to pull a permit for this, do they actually go out and inspect each phase, or is that something that...
It's just an in progress.
In progress.
So they come out one time and look at everything before the tile or the shingles are installed.
Right. Right. So now what about roofing consultants? I mean, what's your opinion on roofing consultants? Because I assume that they're probably going to go up there and check each phase of the operation.
Yeah, the roofing consultant is going to be much more involved than a local municipality and the inspector for sure. We work well with a lot of roofing consultants. From our customer standpoint, it's important because they have to they'll phase in every job and at every, you know, important part of the construction, they'll make sure it's done according to the specification that's provided. And in most cases, these homeowners, they can't get up there during the process of the job and find itself using the product properly, installed properly. And that's where the roofing consultant will come in and make sure that's done, is to make sure the party is protected and it's an unbiased, you know, inspection.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. So please, folks, keep listening. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey. What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me.
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guests today are Keith and Michelle Andrews from Innovative Roofing Systems. And we're talking about roof systems, installation, and how to find a good roofer, as well as material manufacturing companies. So, Keith, what type of license is required for a typical roofing contractor?
In the state of Florida, there's two categories that contractors under the roofing guidelines will be met. It's a certified roofing contractor, which is the numbers and the letters you see on the side of vehicles will be CCC with some following numbers. That means it's state certified. That means you can work anywhere in the state of Florida.
Okay.
If you see those same letters and numbers, but it starts with an R, the RC means a registered contractor, and that means that contractor is just registered in that local county. So
he can only work in, like, Pinellas County. He can't work outside the county?
That's correct.
I don't get that. I mean, if you got to go through a test and an exam.
Why wouldn't you just go for the whole state?
In most cases, people transition to the certified, or in this case, the state license, really quickly because they realize that. But what happens in the Bay Area, they reciprocate a lot. So even though you're registered, let's say in Pinellas, they reciprocate and they open the door fairly well in other counties like Hillsborough and Pasco.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you this. To do, let's say, a single family home versus a 30-story building on the beach, does it require any type of different license?
Not when it comes to the roofing. No, the only time that would be a factor is if you get into the building itself and the construction of the building. And in the state of Florida, there's three. There's the general contractor, a GC, a BC, which is a building contractor, and a registered, residential contractor.
Now, that's kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, to tear off a single-family, one-story home is a lot different than tearing off a 30-story building. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, just, like, throw it over the edge and hopefully nobody's down there?
It's funny because we work in some small places where access is very limited on the beach. For example, Southern Pinellas, St. Pete, there's buildings everywhere, and it becomes extremely difficult. You know, we've done hotels where it's been 14, 15 stories in the air. Believe it or not, the roofing itself, if you just narrow it down to the roof, it doesn't really matter the peripheral stuff. You know, the roof is still the roof and the application is the same.
Right.
But when it comes to tearing off, accessibility, things like that, those factors usually affect the price because you need trash chutes. You need a lull. There's other components.
So a trash chute, you would run up 30 stories up in the air?
Yep.
And just suck all that debris right straight down, I assume, into some type of a dumpster?
It would be a big, you know, 30-yard roll-off dumpster right at the bottom.
Wow.
And gets exchanged out multiple times a day.
Well, interesting. Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. All right. Let me ask you this. This is a little bit off of your company and maybe into some of the manufacturing companies. I know there's a lot of manufacturing companies out there, and they have a lot of different warranties that they offer. And what do you recommend? I know GFI's got a good system. What are some of the other manufacturing companies that typically will back you guys up if you use their products? I mean, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, the manufacturers, you got some, there's several good ones out there. They all seem to follow the same protocol. They will feel comfortable with a local roofing contractor that they know will put on a good roofing system that will be around and, you know, in the future. And they more or less kind of sister in a relationship with one another, and they back their application or they back their installation. With the warranty, it's stamped by the manufacturer. So in some cases, not all, the manufacturer is going to have its own group of contractors. It feels very comfortable with and making sure the roof's being put on properly and more or less stamping its name on the application.
Okay. Yeah. Well, earlier we were talking about tile roofs. So what's the pros and the cons of that type of roofing system? I know they're beautiful to look at, but
yeah,
I mean,
when it comes to the cons, when you want to compare it to a shingle asphalt roof, is the cost, obviously.
Obviously it's more expensive.
It's supposed to keep the house cooler, too, from what the rumor is. I mean, probably, or save energy, probably not much, though.
It's not much to even, you know, have that be a factor in making a decision on which route to go. But when it comes to the cost of it, it's at least 30% more in your material cost. Labor costs more. But another con that I've seen over the years is the maintenance. Maintenance becomes very difficult on a tile roof for several reasons. One, it holds the moisture and the mildew more so than a shingle roof because it's porous. So cleaning the roof becomes more difficult than an asphalt shingle roof.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I know you see a lot of roofs out there that are being painted, the tile roofs. And that's certainly a maintenance, issue. If you paint it once, I guess you got to continue to paint it, right?
Yeah, they're probably having to paint it because aesthetically it's not appealing if it's a commercial building. They're painting it because it's weathered and the association or the homeowners community is not approving, you know, the appearance of it.
So. Right. So the best result would be just to, like, pressure wash it, you know, probably, what, every 4 or 5 years, keep it clean?
Yeah, keep the trees, the shrubs, all those things off the roof on a semi-annual basis. I would actually avoid pressure washing it because then you actually have to have someone physically up there and they could break the tile.
The problem with that, though, is you get homeowners associations and management companies like myself that require it to be clean for aesthetic purposes and obviously to keep the neighborhood up.
Right. There's a lot of companies now that are moving towards chemicals that are mixed with water, and they do the cleaning from the ground or the ladder. So they're able to spray it up to 20, 30 feet. Let it settle, and then just hose it down, and they don't have to get on the roof.
Now, with that in mind, certainly installing a roof, I mean, I know they put, globs of concrete under each tile, and some roofers don't do it every tile, right? Or is it every other tile that they do it? I mean, but, you know, if you're getting a new tile roofing system, knowing that you're going to have some maintenance up front, it's going to have to be pressure washed and cleaned probably every 4 or 5 years. Putting enough concrete up there under each tile is going to prevent those tiles from breaking if somebody's walking up there. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, they don't. The application they used decades ago was concrete mortar that would get sandwiched between the decking and the tile itself. Nowadays, it's not done. It's either fasteners on every tile or two fasteners per tile. But then there's also the popular foam patty system, which is a bond that expands 10 times its size. And it helps as a platform, more or less, like a mattress that sandwiched between the underlayment and the tile. So when you get up there, it won't break as much.
So it's kind of, is the foam just as strong as concrete, or is...
The adhesion stronger. It's been up, you know, it's been satisfied wind uplift codes up to 140, 150 miles an hour.
And probably lighter too, right?
Extremely.
Which doesn't give a lot of stress on the actual deck and the roofing system itself.
Correct.
I mean, because those tile roofs have got to be heavy.
Extremely.
Yeah. Right, right.
Now, what about flat roofs? I mean, I can imagine that would just retain a lot of water and therefore cause a lot of issues. So what's your take on that?
Well, with flat roofs, if it's residential or commercial, the very vital and important thing is to keep the water off the roof. Any ponding water can destroy the material over a period of time. So proper slope,
yeah,
a proper drainage is paramount when it comes to long term and protecting that roof.
So you can actually create that slope, right? Because if it's an old building and it doesn't have a slope, you can.
Yeah, there's applications where we're able to taper or slope the roof to the perimeter or to drains, and it protects it. And some of those roofs that we put that on can get up to 20 to 25 years warranty. Wow.
Oh, now, that's great.
Now, those openings for the water to drain off the roof, I mean, are they small or large?
They come in various sizes, but we always expand on the size that's currently there. So if there's a standard 4x4, we typically go 6x6 or 8x8. And the quantity in between each scupper is expanded. So if there's only three per side, we'll finish off a building with six. Right. So the scuppers are closer in proximity to one another, and they're not so far apart.
All right, Keith, let me ask you this. There's obviously a lot of bad roofers out there. I mean, what does somebody need to look for when it comes to selecting the right roofing company?
So just describe yourself, in other words.
That's another plug.
Yeah, thank you.
You're buying drinks after this, guys.
You know, when it comes to choosing a contractor, I always found it extremely important to find a local contractor. Not just that they're operating locally, but they're all obviously an established business in the community for a while, a familiar name, a familiar, you know, company logo. And it just goes to show that they've been around for a while. So when that roof's put on, that contractor is going to stand behind his work because he knows the warranty, if there is one, will be, you know, coming to the surface that they have to honor. So, you know, finding a local contractor is very important, but just making sure he's established to the community and you've seen him around.
Right. So. And obviously ask for a copy of their insurance as well as their license.
Yes. In most cases, you always want to get a copy of the workman's comp and the general liability, and also check the date on it. Some of them have guys that will just give a voided or a expired workman's comp certificate.
Oh, yeah.
But every one of those certificates comes with a phone number, and that phone number can be called to verify it's active.
Oh, that's great. So look here, folks, if you're in need of a good roofing company and you need a good roofer, call Keith and Michelle at Innovative Roofing Systems. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.